Okay, so last week we dealt with the fundamental question of when do we have halacha of gardumin and when do we not, meaning under what, in what areas of halacha is it legitimate for us to rely on the stubs of the original size, which again, as we'll see, the size of tzitzit are 12 thumbs, that's because it's 3 tefach, and 3 tefach is 4 thumbs, that's where you get it from. But the, as we saw, that's only when you initially make the tzitzis, but afterwards you can have less than that. If it tears, you can have less than that. And the Gemara in Lamed Hey had said that that's true of tzitzis, that's true of tashmishe mitzvah, but not of tefillin, neither of tzuta tefillin, which are tashmishe kedusha, and we dealt with what that meant. But now we got to figure out what does that mean specifically in the context of tzitzis. How does this play out? So far, we had seen part of the Gemara, and the Gemara had introduced the principle of gardumin in the context of tzitzit and in the context of ezov. And the Gemara had then said, kama shir gardumin, and Shmuel had said, the size of kedeh la'anvan. Remember that? Yes. Should we reread that?
How do you measure 12 thumbs? Because thumbs are different.
Yeah, measure. Yeah.
Size of
thumbs are similar.
Size-wise.
Yes. But yes, we mentioned this last week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara had... now, remember, one of the questions we have to deal with is that the whole concept of gardumin was introduced according to whose shita?
Rebbe.
So the question is, does that mean it's only Rebbe or Chacham as well? So let's pick up where we had seen. So let's go to Ibailu. Gedei la'anvan, so we say that the shear of gardumin is the amount to make a slip knot. So, anvan kulhu bahadade odilma kolchad v'chad l'chudei. Do we mean
to make every one of them a slip knot?
Correct. Or do we mean one total, which is obviously a larger amount? Teku, the Gemara says, let the question stand. Bai Rav Ashi, alime dilo ma'anve via v'ktine ma'anve mai. What if they are thick strings that had they been thin strings, they would have had enough to make the slip knot. But in their current thickness, they can't. So what's the halacha? Do we look at actual ability to be
slip
right,
knot.
To make a slip knot, or do we look at the size? So the Gemara says, for sure it's fine, because it sounds like, according to Gemara, right? And this is a classic question. We've mentioned this before. In general, in halacha, you have to deal with the question of whether a principle that is presented is what we call in Hebrew, siman or siba, or in English, causation or correlation. Right? Meaning, is kedei haniva the siman? Mm-hmm. Meaning, it stands in for something else? Or is it the siba that is the reason? The fact that it can be tied is that it's the right side. The Gemara here answers in very unequivocal terms that it is siman. It's not that you actually have to be able to tie it. Being able to tie it is a siman for what? Or in English, it's not causative, meaning the fact that you can tie it is not the cause. It's correlative to the fact that it is a significant size. Right, that's what it says, right? Minkar mitzvah tayu, that the mitzvah is distinguishable. And therefore, right, in very simple lumdish terms, this is right a siman. It is correlative to it being the correct size. Right? But it is not a siba. It doesn't need to be tieable. So then the Gemara says, Umantan de Poligale de Rebbe, who disagrees with Rebbe, which Rebbe, meaning the Rebbe who holds Trelet Ma'akevet Alafan. So, hi Tanahu, the Tanah Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Mishum Rabbi Natan, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Yochan Ben Nure, Ein Lo Tchelet Matil Lavan. The position of Rabbi Yitzchak who says that if you don't have Tchelet,
so
just wear white.
Because of Rabbi Nassan, because of Rabbi.
Not because of, in the name of.
Oh, in the name of. Right. So it's basically Rabbi Yochanan.
Correct. So, Amar Rav.
Why doesn't it just say Amar?
Because we never did it that way. We always say the entire tradition.
I understand why.
Because, first of all, call it maybe Davar B'Shem Amro maybe Gula La'olam. Right? Because Gemara assumes that by quoting things in the names of the proper people, it brings Gula.
Yeah.
And second, there was also presumably an authenticity issue. which is that things weren't written down, they were memorized. And if you couldn't quote the original source, you couldn't explain how you got to it, you couldn't explain the chain, then the tradition that you had was questionable.
So if we just said Amr Yochanan ben Nuri,
how do you know?
Question.
How do you know? Right? Meaning someone in that time is going to say, how do you know?
Right.
You don't know Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you're three generations after Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? So they say, well, I heard it from him, and he told me he heard it from him, and he told me it from him. Right? It grants...
It kind of sounds like a game of broken telephone.
Yeah, well, it's better than just saying, I heard from somebody that, you know, 100 years ago someone had said something.
You heard from this question of this credible rabbi.
I heard from, but if you actually articulate the tradition, you explain the path.
I heard from Rabbi Lau.
Credible, just like.
Credible, sorry. If I heard from Rabbi Lau X, Y, and Z, versus I heard from Rabbi Ziering, who heard from his friend.
Well, where did he get it from? Where did he get it from? He's not credible.
Who heard it from Rabbi Lau?
No, someone's going to say, oh, you said it really loud, the chief rabbi's not credible. But no, that's not what I mean, right? Meaning in the time of Chazal, when you're talking about oral traditions that need a source. Right, presumably, nowadays, if Rabbi Lau said something, he'll say either it's from Shulchan Aruch or something, or that's his psak, and he's a primary source. But if you're trying to reconstruct traditions, why would he be reliable, right?
Things change along the way.
But you have better accuracy if you can say, I heard from him who testifies, you heard from him who said, and this was the source. If you just say, well, I heard from somebody who said you heard from a great rabbi, but rely on the newer generation, right? Meaning Rabbi Lau is the chief rabbi, is a wonderful Talmud Chacham. But if he's saying, I'm saying this on the authority of the Nod Bihuda,
right?
So any responsible posig will say, oh, it's from the Nod Bihuda. Where is it from the Nod Bihuda?
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, well, it's in the Sefer Nod Bihuda, you'll say, great. And if he says, well, I have a tradition, and you'll say, really? You have a tradition from the Nod Bihuda? Where exactly do you get a tradition from the Nod Bihuda? Where do you get to pull authority in the Nod Bihuda? And if he says, well, my father heard it from his father, heard it from him, then you'll be like, oh, that makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. Like, heard it from five different
That's people. Better than just saying, I have a tradition from the Nod Bihuda. Where do you have a tradition from the Nod Bihuda? If you say, look.
If you say, I read it in the Nod Bihuda.
So then that's a primary source.
But if
this is oral. There is no written tradition. It's all by heart. So therefore, someone just says, I heard it.
It's a broken telephone.
No!
I heard it from the source itself.
What?
I heard it.
First of all, okay, Nahum. First of all, no. It's not a game of broken telephone. It's a game of broken telephone. It's when you don't know where it comes from, and it's just, I heard from someone, heard from someone, heard from somebody. Okay, first of all, when you can say, I heard from him, and hear from him, and you can trace it, that gives it more authenticity. The second thing is that this is a culture in which people care about memorizing, because in a world where people care about memorizing, that is not the same.
So they're not,
talk
there's
to,
no chashash
talk
that they're
to
mix
traditional
up.
Catholics.
No,
there's no
talk,
chashash. Talk, there's
no chashash. No, talk to traditional Catholics on Hayom. I had a professor at NYU who's a very traditional Catholic. And do you know what they do on Sundays? They have to memorize verbatim, word for word, the pastor's sermon. Word for word.
So
every week. Why? To practice the skill of memorizing.
So
you know how I get annoyed when people don't memorize things? You know why I do that?
Yeah.
Because I think you have to know everything cold. Right? If you forget, remember, you're living in a world where Chazal say, if you forget something in Torah, then you deserve death.
Whoa.
Right? That is a Gemara in Menachah. Right? If you forget anything, anything, right, you deserve death. Right? Okay. Now, why? So the Grizz suggests, and this will maybe calm you down, that the reason is because in a world where everything is by heart, if you forget something, it is lost forever. And maybe the stricture of the Gemara is not fully enforced when things are written. But in a world where everything is by heart, and the whole culture is one that holds forgetting as the ultimate sin, because it's not just that I no longer know it, but I run the risk of it being lost forever.
Right.
In that world, memorized traditions is all you have, and the fact that people care about, understand that's all you have, gives it more staying force, but right, and gives it more authenticity. But it makes it more reliable when you can explain how you got that tradition. Right? Because if you live in a culture in which people are trained to memorize in order to maintain the integrity of oral traditions.
There's no chashash that things got mixed up.
Of course there is, and that's why the Gemara will sometimes say, trey tanayali but to this, trey to right, to be, of course you can have it. But what is more important, right? What is more likely to be authentic and be accurate? A one in which someone can carefully explain the tradition, right? How he got
so
it.
Tradition is versus carefully like saying, this rabbi.
But he doesn't know that. He didn't hear it directly. If you told me, it's very simple. Nachum, if you told me, right, that something on authority from, let's say you said, I heard this from Bibi Netanyahu, okay, in private, in confidence. How much do I believe you?
Probably won't believe me.
Why won't I believe you?
Because
I have no reason to believe that you ever talked to him in private. Right. So why would I believe you? But if you told me, that well, Robert my neighbor is a... Then I'd be like, okay, maybe maybe this is accurate.
My neighbor's cousin's dog is the prime minister's
what?
Secretary.
So then at least... But then at least I know... No, but then at least I know what to judge it on. Right?
But it's still kind of...
If you... Very simple. Okay. So forget that example. If you say, I have on tradition from Chaim Kanievsky. Okay?
Okay.
So I'd say, well, when did you talk to Chaim Kanievsky? So if you said, well, I never talked to Chaim Kanievsky, then I'd say, then why do I believe you? Right? So then I would ask you, well, where'd you hear it from? If you said, well, I heard it from...
My dad, whose uncle is the gabbai.
Right? So I'd say, okay, maybe. And if you said, well, I asked Reb Chaim Moser HaShaila, and Reb Chaim Moser decided to consult with Chaim Kanievsky, and he went, and they consulted, and this is what he told me the answer was. I'd say, huh. Well, Reb Chaim Moser is likely to understand what Reb Chaim Kanievsky is saying, right? He went to ask the halachic shaila on your behalf. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a tradition that, right, I can not only believe the people, but you know what? Those people probably understood.
So these are credible credit to...
Correct. It's better than just saying, what? How are you quoting
so
someone you've never
met?
Right,
so it's not like saying, okay, so I heard from
it's explaining,
Joe Schmo.
No, it's from explaining where it came from. And that's what I'm saying. This strengthens it. If I know where it came from, obviously the best tradition would be if you could ask Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. But if you can't ask Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, I'd rather know exactly how you came to that tradition.
So these are not just random...
No!
These are actual... Like,
but even if they were, the point is it's better to know where it came from.
No,
right?
Even if there
you
were
can't just
Joe Schmoes, trust it less. But I heard from this guy who heard from this
yes,
guy.
Yes, but if you just you cut out all the middles and just say, I know from Yochanan Nuri, you know what I'll say to you? Lawyer!
So either way, you're...
No! Because if you can... No!
Can I try something?
I'm not
if
gonna,
you
I
can,
understand, but I'm not going to say I'm not going to trust a guy who said I heard from this guy who heard from this guy who heard from this guy because it's almost guaranteed that things change.
No, this is not broken telephone. This is a culture in which people are everything is oral.
No, but we even see cases where things.
No, everything is oral. These are people who actually care about memorizing.
Yes, but
and
we see that things were messed up in the past, so
and therefore it is better to know exactly how you got to the tradition than to just say, it is not honest for someone to just say, well, no one cares about the people in the middle, so I know this from Yochanan Nuri. And someone will say to you, how do you know that from Yochanan Nuri? When did you see him? He lived 100 years ago. How do you know? And you'll be like, a bunch of great people told me.
Okay,
but if you say, no, this is a tradition that has been protected right now, that doesn't mean it's never wrong, doesn't mean there are never mistakes, doesn't mean there are never multiple traditions.
No, this is...
The same way we do everywhere in Shas. Right? Where everything is oral, and if they could... Again, this is why...
So it's
this
more
is
likely
why,
that this is true.
Correct. And the Gemara talks about this all the time. The Gemara says, if you have a machloket between X and Y, always take Y. Why? Why? Because, right? Between A and B, always take B. Why? The Gemara will say, because he had a good memory, where he cared to memorize verbatim, and not just the general gist. Right, the Gemara says that. The Gemara knows there are people with it, and that's part of why you care. Because if you see the people on the list, hey, I know that he had a really good memory, and he was very careful. So that's a good tradition.
The Gemara knows these are...
The Gemara knows that this is where the tradition came from. I don't know independently.
The Gemara knows that these are Rabbeim that had great memories.
Well, I don't know. That's why the Gemara sometimes will say, this is better than this. They're all reliable, but he's better than he is at memorizing. But... Obviously, the only way you can gauge the reliability of a tradition is to know exactly how the tradition came down, right? It's stronger. I'm not saying it's absolute. The Gemara sometimes will often say there are two traditions. It's unclear what he said. Maybe he said different things. Maybe you only learned... Right? The Gemara asks this all the time. Sometimes the Gemara will say, do you know he said that, or did you imply that he said that? Meaning, what did you hear? Did you hear the halacha? Or did you hear about a story in which it seems like he paskin that way, but I could explain it otherwise?
Right.
Why is the Gemara doing that? Because the Gemara is aware of the fact that when you have traditions that are being passed down, and sometimes they're explicit traditions, and sometimes they're implicit traditions, the Gemara knows that it can be lost.
Right.
But the reason it provides the names is because then you can at least gauge the integrity of this tradition. It could be the Gemara would say it's a mistake. But the Gemara is going to want to say, well, who did you get the tradition from, and how likely is it that this was a mistake, what and that about, one was correct?
What about when the Gemara changed the words, or a certain halacha that a certain rabbi paskened, if it doesn't fit what the Gemara is trying to say? Meaning a lot of times go like, oh,
good. So sometimes,
rabbi this said this. Oh, but that doesn't work with what we've already established, so he must have said something else.
Good, so it's a big machloket, right? Some people think that means that they're actually trying to reconstruct a tradition. They're saying, oh, this seems to have been a mistake. Our best guess at reconstructing the tradition is X. Right? That's one way of understanding
it. So the Gemara is actually changing.
Is guessing. Right? Meaning it's saying, I think this is what it probably was, but I don't know. Right? Alternatively, it's the Chazal saying, no, we don't really care what they said. For our purposes, right? Meaning this is that the Miri understand. The Miri, right? Some people believe that the Amoraim are always bound by the Tanaim. So they assume that whenever it says Chasurim Echzera, what it means is, we really think that Tanaim said this, and that there was something got lost along the way, and therefore we're rewriting it based on Svara, but we actually think that we're reconstructing the original position. Okay? The Meiri says, no, the Amoraim were not bound by the Tanaim, and when they say there's missing words, what they mean is they were wrong. And if I want to care what they said, this is how I'd have to rewrite it. But their position really was exactly as it looked. It's just wrong. And Chisurei Mechzera means, if it were to be written in a way we think is correct, this you'd have to be rewritten. They got it wrong. This is how we say it. Right, which is a bit more of a controversial position, but that's what Miri thinks, right? That when it says rewrite it, it doesn't mean it was we misunderstood the tradition. It was we got the tradition completely right. We just don't agree with it, right? So let's rewrite the tradition, right? Yes, the Miri thinks that the Amoraim are allowed to argue on the Tanaim. He does not think the Amoraim are bound by the Tanaitic words. He just doesn't. Nikudaso Sipur. I said it's my focus, but I'm saying so it is complicated in terms of what's going on there. Maybe we can have a share at some point just on this if you want. You know, just take a day and go through exactly how we get to all this stuff.
Right.
But for now, we're on Garduman with that aside. Okay, Amarava. Shma mina tzarech lichar kol chule v'chulya. From here, you learn that you have to tie on each. Might string. These are going to look sorry. Chadamri b'nei Rabbi Chia, gardumei tchelek kshirin, gardumei tchelek kshirin, kevan ishtere le iloi, ishtere le kula. If you didn't have to tie in each string, so as soon as one would untie, the whole thing would fall apart. So it must be that you tied each string. This way you could have on each one.
That's fine.
Dilma di iktar. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Right? Dilma d'ikdar. What's d'ikdar? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Klomar, mimai d'tzarech l'kshor b'chol chulya. That which you said you have to tie in every string. Dilma, ha d'amri b'nei Reb Chiya, achi d'amri. This is what Reb Chiya meant. Im kasher al kol chulya v'chulya, have a gardumin kshira. If you had tied on each one, then it would be kasher. Avol b'rov tzitziot lo kamachshari gardumin. But on most tzitzit, you didn't make these knots. And when you didn't make this knot, the gardumen, these stubs, would be puzzled. The robes would ain't a kol chulya v'chulya. So Gemara says, that doesn't prove that you have to tie these all these knots. Because maybe it was just a case where they had tied all these knots, but they didn't actually have to. V'amaraba, shmami nitzar kesher elyon d'oraisa. But here we do learn that the uppermost knot, and again, we'll do this next, after we finish Gardumin, what is the uppermost knot? It can either mean, as well, the one closest to the Beged, or the one
closest
furthest to the Beged,
yeah.
Right? We'll see it's a Machlokas. We showed him. And the reason for that is because otherwise, why do you need a heter for Hilayim on Tzitzis? Because pshita atochek tchicha achas in kibol shema midoraisa. Because
wouldn't it make sense that it's the one closest to the beged?
That's the majority position, but Rashi thinks the opposite.
If it's saying that if that one's untied, then all of them are untied, then
we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. If it ripped meikaro from its original part point, right? Originally from the beginning, it is possible. And Yosef Nachman Kamar Lashmaita Isvei Rabbi Lar Nachman. What does that mean? At the beginning, or at the end, if it's left over, gardumen, it is kasha. Well, that's gardumen, right? We've been talking about this. My shiur v'mar gardumav, my love sheridivzak minayu v'ishtar minayu gardumen. Gardumav di'igdom igardume. So what is the difference? Isn't it where shiurim is where something is left in gardumen is basically where it's a total stub? Lo chadaktani. The Gemara says no, it's the same thing. Shiurei gardumen kolshu. The lemer gardume is one thing, right? Meaning stubs, which are that's how much has been left over. Lema gardume shiurav lamalei. Akmashon dina shiurei le gardume kedei laanvan. What I teach you is that you need the leftover the gardumen big enough to do the right hidei aniva. Right. So this is the sugya of gardumen. There's a lot of unclarity here. Okay? Let us talk about all the points that are unclear. So, as I put here, the questions that we need to answer. One is this whole halacha only according to Rebbe, or even according to the Chachamim? Do they believe this is true? How many strings are we talking about? Right? The Gemara says that there are cases in which strings can be cut.
Could be one, it could be
all. One, two, three, four, how many are we talking about?
Well, the
next thing we have to ask is, the Gemara introduces this category called Gardumen, and then this category called Gnei Aniva. Are those the same thing? Meaning, every time we say Gardumen, we mean stubs up to Gnei Aniva, mm-hmm. Right? But less than that is considered Mitchilato and his puzzle, Mikaro and his puzzle, right? Or do we mean Gardumen is where there's even less than Gnei Aniva, and Kidei Aniva is kasher, not because of Gardumen, but because it's considered that the string is still there. That Gardumen is kasher because it's a remnant of a string, even though the string is not considered there. And Kidei Aniva is right, a higher level where things that would be puzzled, Gardumen, are kasher if they're Kidei Aniva, right? Are those the same thing or different?
Is there a thing that if the other side of the string is still there, like, you know how the string folded in half?
We haven't gotten there yet. But we're going to get there. Right? That's part of the... Right? And then exactly where are we talking about the tear from? Right? It tears from where? Right?
Right. It could be from here or it could be from here.
Correct. It could be from the gedil or from the anaf. Right? It could be from the beged or it could be from the knots at the bottom. Right? I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, did we say that...
Right? Well, what are we talking about? Are we talking about not... Right? That the string is lacking... In the hanging part, or are we talking about the string fundamentally is lacking from the beginning? What are we talking about here?
Right.
Right? All these things are unclear in the Gemara. All the Gemara says that we've seen is that there is this category of Gardumen, there's this category of Kedei Aniva.
And these are the things that are falling.
Right? But well, and this is all according to Rebbe, but it's not clear.
If it's ripped from the beginning, right? This part. Then for sure it's not kosher because that's like.
No, past the Kesher Aliyah. Obviously, past the Kesher Elyon, because the Gemara said Kesher Elyon Daraisa.
Past the first, no.
But again, there's a machloket about what the Kesher Elyon is.
Over here.
But remember, there's a machloket about the Kesher Elyon, yes. But remember, that I just said that we're going to see there's a machloket about what the Kesher Elyon is. Is the Kesher Elyon.
The last knot?
The last knot or the first knot?
It has to be this one.
Okay, then but Rashi disagrees with you.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense, because if like this one is ripped, then like sure, the other ones are still tied. But if the first one, right, the one closer to the beged, okay. Is ripped, then how could these be tied?
What do you mean?
Meaning it's disconnected already from the beged.
No, it's not.
Like, it technically tied, but the string itself is disconnected.
What do you mean? You can knot it.
It's disconnected.
You don't think you can knot? What? You could wrap, and
you
then knot
could,
at the bottom.
But it's disconnected from the actual beged.
No.
The string is not attached to it.
Is it? It's tied. It's tied.
It's tied to the other strings that are attached. That string itself is.
What do you
not
mean? If you took tzitzis and you didn't tie the kesher to the beged, you wrapped and then you tied a knot at the bottom, it would be attached. What's the problem?
Meaning, if I like one of these ripped, right, then yeah, this string over here would be connected.
No.
These, but it's.
Let's say you wrapped, tied a knot, and then something's ripped past that knot. Why would it not be connected to the tissues?
So everything, right? So I'm saying everything past that knot.
Yeah, but so that's
not
what
connected.
Correct, but Rashi thinks that's what we're talking about. The Kesher Elyon is the last knot, and Shiarim are up to that last knot. Why is that? It's physically possible. It may not be the best read of the sugya, right? But it's a physical possibility, right? Give me your tzitzis, right? Right? Meaning, if you think that this, right, this last knot here is what is significant halachically, and you think that garduman means it's ripped up to here, why is that not physically possible? Right, that we judge from how much is left up to this knot. It's possible. Right? It's physically possible. Whether it's the right halachic position is a different story, but this is a physical possible description. Right? That this is the relevant knot, and the rip and the halachic shilas around it are relevant up to this knot, not that knot.
Oh, so he's just being more machmir.
Well, he thinks it's the bottom. Right? No, but, well, I mean, not bottom, he calls it the top. But
right.
For these purposes, the last knot, the one farthest away from the beggar. Okay, so these are the shilas that we need to answer. And I know this is a very complicated sugya. I find this extremely complicated. Which is why I've tried to simplify it as much as possible, but it is quite complicated. So we're gonna try, okay? Like I said, I gave you the Tosos, I gave you the Rush, and I gave you the Kesem Mishnah, with the Rambam with the Kesem Mishnah, and I gave you an English summary of the Kesem Mishnah because it is so complicated, right? It is so complicated, and Baruch Hashem, I found this summary on dafyomi.co.il where it went through all three positions in the Kesem Mishnah. We'll see how many we get today. I assume German will take us 2 days, so let us... let's begin. Yes, exactly. Okay, let's go to Tosa. So we're going to try to read this inside. And again, these are not all the positions. There are more positions in Rishonim. I want to get some of them out, and I want each step to both understand the mitzvah of what we're talking about, right? What they are actually saying, and conceptually what they're saying. Okay, so let's look at Tosos. Elali Gardumen. Got it, Tosos? Mashma di Gardum kulhei mifsal. So it sounds like if it was completely stubbed, then it would be possible. Okay, I'm willing to buy that. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Da'achshav shenotnin arba chutin, shtayim yishum lavan, ushtayim yishum tchelet, v'koflin lishmona, tzarich lizaher, dim nisiku shlosha min achutin, shemayim yishlosha chutin, v'nimtza shelo nisharu shtei chutin shlemin. So right off the bat, and this is the position that everyone really starts with, even though it's not the easiest position, but everyone is responding to Rabbeinu Tam. What does Rabbeinu Tam say?
It says nowadays we use 4 strings, 2 for lavan, 2 for techeles, and we fold them over to make 8.
And therefore what?
And therefore you have to be careful if 3 of them rip, because it could be 3 separate.
Let's analyze his position. What did Rabbeinu Tam think that Gardumen meant?
More than half rip.
No. Think about his position. What is he saying?
You might not have full strength.
Levon is also together.
He's saying, first of all, what did he say it originally meant? Originally meant. What did it mean originally? First of all, who's Rabbeinu Tam explaining? Gardumen according to who? Rebbe or Chachamim?
Rebbe.
Good. He's explaining Gardumen according to Rebbe. What position does Rebbe have that is unique in the sugya?
It was...
Chelet?
No.
Ma'akev? Et alavan? Ma'akev et alavan? Love and ma'akev et chelet? But the Gardumen are not ma'akev. But when it says Eino ma'akev, it means Gardumen. So how does Rabbeinu Tam understand that position?
One blue rips.
Not one. Not one.
Oh, both.
Correct. How does he understand it? Think about how he understands Rabbeinu Tam. Where?
If both
says, Chelet ma'akev et alavan, according to Rabbi, means that you need to start your tzitzit
with blue and white.
Blue and white, which for him is 2 and 2. Right? This is Rabbeinu Tam,
but if both blues rip, it's still fine.
Because as long as you began with white and blue, it's fine.
It's the making.
Except if three reb.
No.
So why?
Within Rebbe.
So why specifically?
Well, within Rebbe. What did he say within Rebbe? Within Rebbe. You're jumping. Reconstruct his position. According to Rabbeinu Tam, in the time of the Gemara, when you had Tchelet, according to Rebbe, the Tchelet Ma'akev et Alofa, so Rebbe thinks, when you start making your tzitzit, what do you need?
Two and two.
This is Rabbeinu Tam L'shitata. Two and two. And what does Garduman mean according to Rebbe? According to Rebbe, when there is Tchelet, what does that mean?
If
the entirety of the blue rips,
it's still kosher.
Why?
Because you started with.
Because as long as you started with blue and white,
you're fine.
If the blue disappears, right, tears, the white is still kosher. If the white tears, then blue is still kosher. That's the Rebbe's position, according to Rabbeinu Tam, in a world with Tchelet. Okay? Again, let's just try to get the facts down, and then we'll try to understand the lumdos. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, how does that play out in modern day?
Probably not like that. Because he says
we fold them over.
Now that we have four strings, two as blue and two as white, So then, what does he say? You can't have
three ripped.
Why?
Because we won't have full strings.
Because if you have what do you need? Two full strings. Because you always needed two full strings.
Yeah.
Either the two white or the two blue. But now you don't know which is which. So therefore, what do you need?
Need two.
Right. You can't have three strings ripped because if you have three strings ripped, then you might not have two full left, and you always need at least. Two full, either those representing the Laban or those representing the Chelet.
He's saying the possibility of having two strings is enough.
No.
You have to prove that you have two strings.
You need to prove, and therefore if three are ripped. If two are ripped, you know that two are full. Right? Because either they're from the same string and then you have three complete, or they're two strings and then you have two complete and two ripped.
Right.
But if you have three. Which ripped?
Then you know one is.
Then you don't know.
You know that there's only one left.
No, you know. You don't know. It might be that it's one and a half strings, and therefore there's still two full strings, and it's kosher.
Okay.
Or it's three different strings, and therefore you only have one complete string, and that's why it's puzzle. You don't know.
Right.
That's the problem, is you don't know. Not that you do know, you don't know.
Right.
You keep doing this wrong.
Yes.
You don't know. He needs you to know positively that you have two strings that are complete.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he get this notion that two strings need to be complete? Because the original halacha was, according to Rebbe, the way he understood the halacha was that one complete color tore. And it was kosher because the other color was
still kosher.
Fully intact. And therefore, nowadays, where you can't identify it, right? You can't say that's the blue, that's the white, meaning assuming you have four white, right? Four, which is eight white. So therefore, he needs you to have at least two strings with their full integrity. And therefore, that means that practically, and look, we'll get to the question of, well, what if nowadays you know exactly where the strings come from because we split them four and four, so we know, right? They're not all mixed up. No, because the way we split our tzitzit is that we know that all the four on one side are, right, that they don't mix and match strings. Right?
If four of them were torn, that means... These four.
Correct. If you cut off four on one side, you would know that you had four strings that are half. Right? You know that because...
Okay, fine.
So how does that affect it? But hold that.
So this could be cut, this would be cut.
Well, we'll get to what it means, but
according to right
now, we'll get to it. But Rabbeinu Tam is in a world where you don't yet know which side is which. Okay, but that's Rabbeinu Tam.
Does the Gemara ever talk about when... the string kind of gets frizzy. Like, is that still considered
that's
string?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're also allowed to tie.
Okay.
Which is what I do. Or you put.
So this is Rabbeinu Tam. Now.
Your nail polish.
Okay. Okay, yes. V'yesh l'daktik tzat. So now Tosfos says, it seems like, right? L'daktik tzat means it implies a little bit, meaning it's not absolute, but it implies. That what? The sugya zo ki Rebbe atya. That this entire sugya only works according to Rebbe. Da'ahashta ve mitzvah achat. V'halacha ki Rebbe mecha ve'rav. Avalo mecha ve'rav. V'kol shekem me'rabo, riosek lili rabo'i. Haya v'ha somchen she'in lanu tchelet u'matilan lavan. Rabbana afilu b'chad. Misol dov trey mitzvot ninhu. V'lo to'el ha'achat l'chaverto davikilu irgum tchelet u'miktad lavan. So first he says, and I will summarize the psak issue there, which is, he thinks it's only according to Rebbe, and therefore we don't paskin like Rebbe, because in general, when it's Rebbe Mechaviro, we don't paskin like Rebbe. Sorry, Rebbe Mechaviro, we don't paskin like Rebbe. Meaning if it's Rebbe against more than one other person, we don't paskin like Rebbe. Okay, that's Tosas' psak issue. But now Tosas gives a svara. Why does Gardumin only apply according to Rebbe? What does he say? Why does Gardumin only... Don't guess. Why does Gardumin only apply according to Rebbe? What does he say? Dahashta have mitzvah? Achat. Good. So what is he saying? What is Tosas' conceptual argument? He has two arguments. One is the literary point, which is, it seems like this is only within Rebbe, and therefore... And we don't normally pass like Rebbe against other people, so fine, that's fine. But why does he think conceptually the halacha of Gardumin only works for Rebbe?
Because Rebbe has it as one mitzvah.
And therefore?
And therefore, you know, if it's Rebbe, then it's all Rebbe.
No, meaning punkt verkehrt. The opposite. Read what he says, don't jump. Right, you have a good kasha, but hold that thought. What does he think? Tosfot thinks that Gardumin only works according to Rebbe. Why?
Because he holds it's one mitzvah.
It's one mitzvah, and therefore, if two strings are ripped,
you still have the other two to rely on.
You still have the other two,
and they
which are
they cover for these two.
Correct.
Oh, but
he thinks daska because they're integrated, right? Because they're ma'akev zedzed, they're integrated, and therefore, and it's a weird hybrid position. What's it saying?
Yeah. It's
It's a weird hypersensing. He's saying,
funky.
What?
It's funky.
It's funky. But what's he saying? He's saying, look, Gardumin as presented here only works according to Rebbe because Chelet and Lavan are integrated. And if they're integrated, therefore, they can defend each other, so to speak.
They're as if they're one. Basically.
Well, right. There is if they're one, but not 100%. Why? Because if that was the case, then what should Rabbeinu Tam have said?
Even if one string was...
Then it doesn't really matter which strings rip. Meaning, decide how many strings you need to be left over. And, right, meaning, what could you have said? According to Rebbe, Tchelet Ma'akev et Alav and Lav and Ma'akev et Tchelet, which means this is one integrated mitzvah, which means you basically have eight strings to play with. And then you just say, look, and therefore, according to Rebbe, if you decide that you need four strings, you need four strings, blue or white, doesn't matter. If you decide you need three strings, and three strings. If you decide one string, you need one string. If you decide four, you whatever. Right? And you could have said that according to Rebbe, color doesn't matter. That's what Chelet Ma'akev et Alavan means. That because they are integrated, so whatever number you need, and it doesn't matter whether it's blue or white. That's not what Rebbeinu Tam says. Right? And Dafka, according to that, right, what does he say? Right, he says, no. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? It's integrated, but how Tosas understands Rabbeinu Tam. Is that what? Again, this is very complicated. Right? That what? They're integrated, so they can be machshir each other, but they're still distinct, such that the way that they protect each other is that you need a complete white or a complete blue. Right? That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. Which sounds like it's
white,
not
blue,
integrated.
Or white and
right?
Blue.
What?
White and blue or
two
or
no.
Blue or
two? A complete of either white or blue.
So it can't be one and one.
No, right? That's from Inam Shita.
Right.
Which is weird because you could have said, right? I don't understand this. Meaning Mamanav Shach. If they're integrated, so then you would say they're totally integrated and therefore it doesn't matter. You can mix and match how many whites and blues are left. But as Rabbi Adam says, according to Tosfot, what does he say?
They're
integrated, and that's why they can be machshir each other.
But not enough to be...
Correct. Mitzvah. But the way they're integrated is that they're one mitzvah enough that you need a whole color to right, in order to be machshir the other stubs. But they're not completely one, right? So it's a sort of weird middle position. That's perhaps as understandable of time. But according to him, therefore, according to Chachamim, that Tchelet Einam Avakev Alavan, therefore, white and blue are completely distinct, and therefore, you can never have any rip strings, according to Tosfot.
Or you just need one and one.
No, you can never have rip strings, according to Tosfot. No, you can never have them because they're separate mitzvot, and each must stand alone. Even and therefore, you can't have any rip. I mean, maybe you can have some rip, but we'll see what that
if
means.
There's two blues and two whites, you can't have any of those.
That's what Tosfot sounds like. Right? We mean we don't pass on that Garduman is ever kosher, according to Chachamim. Right? Garduman is always possible.
Yeah.
Now, this seems almost, right, a little bit backwards. But let's, right, again, let's try to get the positions out there, highlight the questions. Again, it's a bit of a complicated sugya, so you need to really pay attention. And then he says, V'od yesh lomar, alternatively, di'igardum tchelet v'kam alavan. Alternatively, if the tchelet is completely cut and all there's white, haynu denifzak achut meikaro v'lo nishtari ala kol shu decharinan ki agavna gardumav b'chol shu v'lo evik ilu nifzaku shteyam b'gamrei dehoil mitzvah achad hi mo'ol ha'shalem l'chaveiro. Aval li rabbana nifsakot echad meikaro pasul ela im nishar kedei aniva. And he says maybe according to Rebbe, if a whole string rips, it is okay. Why? Because they're integrated, and therefore what?
I'm sorry, I missed that last.
Since they're integrated, the shalem helps the other one. But according to the chachamim that they're not integrated, what does he say? Garduman is always possible. And according to those, what does the word garduman mean?
Anything
less than kedei aniva. But even the chachamim will be modeh that what will be kasher?
More.
Kedei aniva. Why? Because according to Tosfot, is garduman and aniva the same halacha? No. Garduman means sometimes it's a kasher if you have less than kedei aniva, and that we reject according to Tosfot. That's only according to Rebbe. But the Chachamim will agree that you can have it torn as long as it's left with kedei aniva. Because according to Tosfot, Garduman is one halacha, kedei aniva is a separate halacha. Rebbe holds of Garduman, the Chachamim only hold of kedei aniva, and therefore Garduman is completely rejected. La halacha, the only thing we accept is that sometimes tzitzis are kosher if they're left with enough to tie a slipknot. And then he says, and that halacha is Rabbi Chiya's halacha. But within the world of kedei aniva, how many strings can be ripped as long as they remain kedei aniva? All four. All four. Because remember, Tosfot says that. Correct, because Tosfot thinks that only Rebbe thinks that Garduman is kasher. And only because he thinks they're integrated, right? And therefore, that a halacha only applies to a few strings. But kedei aniva, right? Because what is the lamdus of garduman according to Tosos? Garduman. Listen. According to Tosos, garduman means that sometimes the existence of one string can be machshir that tzitzis even if the other string ceases to exist. And what's that called? Garduman. Kedei aniva is a different halacha. What's kedei aniva according to Tosos? How short can a string be cut and still be considered a string? And what does he say? Rebbe holds a halacha called garduman, which means
anything.
That because of the way the tzitziot are connected to each other, sometimes you can. You're not going to be able to pay attention if you do that, right? Is what? I saw what you were doing. Okay? Come on. Wait, what does he say? According to Tosfos, according to Rebbe Tam, come on, this is not easy. If you don't pay attention, you will not get
anything.
According to Rebbe,
garduman
is a halacha, which means that under certain circumstances, the existence of whole strings can be machshir.
The half strings.
Right? No! Strings that are totally ripped. Totally ripped.
Right.
Right? So Gardumen.
Even like missing, like.
That's what he thinks Gardumen means. Kedaniva, according to him, is a different halacha. What's Kedaniva?
Ah, that it has to at least have until.
How long can a string be to still be considered a string? And those are two different halachos.
Oh, but they
and therefore,
they
according
do,
to him.
They do connect, though.
You no. Does he, no.
Does he
according
to,
no. 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 They do, these two halachot are not connected according to him. According to Chachamim, how many strings can have Gardumen? Zero.
Right.
How many strings can be ripped up to Kedaniva? All of them.
Whoa, but if
all of them.
Then it has Gardumen.
No. Because Tozer thinks these are two different halachot. That Gardumen is when considered to be kasher, when they're ripped beyond the point at which they're halachically still a string. Meaning,
the
less
defines him as halachically still
is Kedaniva. And he says, Rebbe holds that strings can be ripped up to
Kedaniva.
No, up to Gardumen. Right? Which is past Kedaniva according to Tosfot. Yeah. And the Chachamim don't hold of Gardumen, and therefore they think Kedaniva, but how many strings can be Kedaniva? All of them. Right? I mean, even if all of them were ripped to Kedaniva according to Tosfot, it would be kosher, but those are two separate halachot.
It's okay. I mean, what is up to Gardumen.
So,
according to Rebbe, what is Gardumen?
So, according to everyone, Kedaniva is used in the beginning.
According to everybody, according to Tosos.
You know, to use to create the strings in the first place.
No, you'd be Gozlin, right? The string is even longer than Kedaniva.
Well, I'm saying at least Kedaniva.
No, it's well, that's not clear, right? It sounds like it needs to be tied at least to 12, right? And then there's two levels at which it can be torn. There's torn still Kedaniva, where it's still a string. And then there's Gardumen.
That I get, but I'm saying in the first place, when you're first making tzitzis, it has to be at least...
You do a Beit Gozlin. No, 12 thumbs.
So Kedaniva is not used at all in the...
No. Kedaniva, according to Tosafot, it is... The string is still there, so it's kosher.
So according to Rebbe, what's the point of Kedaniva then?
If he Rebbe doesn't hold of Kedaniva.
He just doesn't think, like, what does that mean? He doesn't hold of it. Like, it has to come.
No, that's exactly Tosafot's point, that there's two things going on more simultaneously.
I understand he's saying it's the same thing. It's one halacha. But
no, it's two halacha. That Gardumen is halacha that Rebbe holds of. And the Chachamim don't agree to the Gardumen sugya. But they think that you can rip tzitzis and it still be kosher, it just needs to remain Kedaniva. But once it remains Kedaniva, it's a full, it, for these purposes, it's a string, and therefore, it could be everything. Mm-hmm. Right?
So Rebbe doesn't hold of Kedaniva, and Chachamim don't hold of Gardumen.
Well, Rebbe might also agree with Kedaniva. I mean, Rebbe might think, no. Or maybe not, right? It might be that he needs Shleiman.
No.
Right? Okay.
My brain.
I told you this is a hard sick, yeah. You know, let's look at the Rush. Okay, the Rush is gonna repeat this position, maybe a little bit clearer than Tosafot himself. Maybe. Okay. Let's try to again. We need to try to understand because I'm not sure Tosafot, right, Rabbi Thomas, it makes sense. Right? I'm not sure. Right? But you know, maybe it would be Poskin. Maybe. One second. Yeah. Okay. I wanted the board today, so I'm a little bit annoyed because this would have been a little bit helpful. Maybe at the beginning of tomorrow, we'll steal the board and. But I heard there's Shirkoli tomorrow, so I don't know. For my chair. So I'm not.
Well.
Oh, thank you. Maybe it's the English on the back. Do I not have the rush in this Gemara? Doesn't have the halacha of the rush. I'm very confused. How this one is set up. I mean, this is not a complete one. I'm not really sure. The halacha is done over the rush. Sure. I don't know if I have it in this one actually. Is there not one in this Gemara? Might not be. Might just be a Gemara Ashitosis Gemara. I don't know.
Sorry,
there are
some particular.
Maybe here.
Yeah,
it's very strange. understand. Okay. Let's,
again. We're going from Ramen Bamum and Olive to Daf Ramen Hayim and Beef.
Okay.
This is fun cues.
So, what was that
for again? This is the riff. Here we go. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just not in that Gemara. That's very strange. I didn't realize. I just put that was what I pulled off the Shabbos. The okay. So look at the halacha. Remember the Rashi has the halacha ketana. So halacha ketana tzitzis siman zayin. So this is in the Ozvahadar. It is on page.
Is it the red part or the Rashi?
The Rosh. The Rosh.
The Rosh. Okay.
So the Rosh in the Ozva Hadar, it's on page. Yeah, so. Okay.
By which page?
So in the Ozva Hadar, it's on Nunchet. Nunchet. Yeah.
Hatchelas?
Yeah. Okay, so he says, Hatchela in Ma'akver Alofa. Right. Leima was Yisrael Loki Rebbe. The Tanur Itam Adam Lama Shakven says it. If Rebbe Chamomer in Makven, so the Gemara had said Rebbe holds Tchelet Makven Alof. Umasik Amar Rav Yisrael Gardumin. Di Gardum Tchelet Bekoy Alofan. Oh, Gardum Lofan Bekoy Tchelet Litlanba. Right. And the Gemara had said that according to Rebbe, Tchelet is Makven Alofan. And when you say Tchelet ain't a Makven Alofan, it means Gardumin. Right. The Omri Bnei Reb Chia Gardume Tchela Vagdume Hezav Ksheret. The Kamashir Gardume Omar Marbar Amduri Amar Shmuel Vachidei Laonva. Mashma. So it implies the Igardum Travayu that if both were stubs Psile. I feel Nishram Kidei Aniva. Right. It sounds like according to this halacha that what even if it's left Kidei Aniva is a kosher apostle.
It's kosher.
Apostle. Remember, this is Rabbeinu Tam. There are two different positions, right? That Rabbeinu Tam holds that what does Rebbe need? Right? He doesn't hold of Kidei Aniva, he holds of Gardumin. And therefore, what does he need? Two complete strings. And in the complete strings, how much of them can rip? Nothing.
Right.
And in the ones that can rip, how much of them can rip?
Everything.
Your
Honor.
So nowadays we have 2, 2, which goes to 4, 4, which is 8, right? I know this is very complicated kind of in mathematics for you. I got it. 2 plus 2 times 2, right?
Whoa.
I'm not very good at math.
What? But just put parentheses in the right place, right? It's 2 plus 2 in parentheses times 2 is 8, right? Right, the 2 plus 2 is in parentheses, because otherwise it would not
be
right.
I'm confused what these 2's are referring to.
2 plus 2 times 2 would be 6.
I'm pretty sure you can put parentheses anywhere.
No, yeah. No. If you didn't put the parentheses, it would be no. With no two plus two times two with no parentheses is 6.
Right.
With parentheses, yes. With parentheses at the beginning is 8. Right. This is basic mathematics. Okay. No. Don't you remember this from like third grade, guys?
It's a parenthesis. Not please excuse my ignorance.
Or just
parentheses.
Didn't you guys have this in like third grade? Right. 2 plus 2 times 2 is right is 6. Right? 2 plus 2 times 2 with 2 plus 2 in parentheses is 8. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
3.
Oh, good. I feel great. I'm doing little kid math. Right? And it's confusing everybody.
But anyway, I'm confused what the 2's are referring to, though.
2 white plus 2 blue folded over.
Okay.
So 2 blue plus 2 white parentheses folded over. So that's the double ending. Okay.
4 strings folded over.
Correct. But not just 4 of any. It's 2 white, 2 blue. Right. Together, times 2 is 8. Okay? Okay. So according to him, v'imnizgu shlosh apostle shemelu nishar b'hem elachud echad sholem. So again, Rabbeinu Tam shita is that Rebbe holds of gardumin and not kedei aniva. And how does Rebbe understand the sugya? That you need lahalacha two complete strings. What's the chap of gardumin according to Rebbe? According to Rabbeinu Tam, no. According to Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rebbe, what's the chap of gardumin? That white and blue are distinct but integrated, right? This is very complicated lumdus, right? I don't know if I fully get it. But he's saying like this. Only according to Rebbe, that the white and blue are integrated into the same mitzvah, is it possible to say that the complete lack of a string would do what? Would be okay because the other strings would swoop in and be machsheret. Right? Because according to the Chachamim, white and blue are distinct. And therefore, blue can't save white, and white can't save blue because they're distinct. But if they're ma'akev, so they're integrated. But they're not fully integrated. Because if they're fully integrated, then what would you say you need? X number of strings. So Rabbi Nathan is this very weird middle position, which is that white and blue are two parts of an integrated whole, and the way Gardumin works is that
you need one of those.
You need one of those to be complete. And once one of those is complete, it can save.
I feel like that's not
the very, very stub, right? The stubs of the other color.
But how is that ma'akev? That seems to go against ma'akev.
Well, no, that's what he's saying, is that they're ma'akev in the sense they both must be put in originally, and they're not ma'akev because once they're in, one color can save the other by saying, look, a little bit is left, fine. Right? A little bit is left, fine. Right? Fundamentally, these were tzitzit that were created with blue and white. So you only have the blue left, you only have the white left. That's Rabbi Nathan's interesting shita. Right? But according to the Chachamim that they're integrated, sorry, they're not integrated. Can white save blue or blue save white?
No.
So what do you need? Every string for itself. And therefore, according to him, so it's every string for itself, therefore what? You need kidei aniva. But Rabbi Nathan holds that what? Rabbi Nathan holds what? That we do paskin like, right? Rabbi Nathan himself holds that we paskin on the halacha of Gardumin?
No.
Yes. Yeah. And how does it play itself out now that we have blue and white? We don't have blue and white if we only have white. How does it play out for him? That because you don't know which strings stand in for the blue and which one strings in for the white, so what do you need to do?
Have both.
What? You need to make sure that you're not missing two strings because you don't know which strings they're coming from, and therefore the way to ensure that you're not missing, that you have at least two complete strings is by not having more than three strings. Sorry, not having three strings ripped, because the second three strings are ripped, they might come from three separate strings, and then it would be puzzle.
Well, that would be from two strings also.
No, if there's two strings, you definitely have two complete. You either have three complete and one gardumin, or you have two full and two gardumin. But if you have three ripped strings, then you might have one complete. So according to
But the point is that you need two of one or two of the other.
Correct, and therefore he says.
But if there are only two complete strings and it's one of each, then that doesn't work.
No, so he says. You just need two complete. You're right. According to him, you just need two complete. Right now, they're all white. It doesn't matter. Right? So you just need two complete. You're right. You just need two complete. Okay. The Yesh Omrim, the Hashanu, the Gardumin, and the Rebbe. Now that's Rabbi Nathan. Because Rabbi Nathan holds that this is how it is according to Rebbe, and we paskin that way. Right? Or the Chum will be Modeh to Rebbe. The second possibility is that this whole thing is only according to Rebbe. Dil Rabban and Asya Masin Kepasha to Chilet in Makav and Alavan, Klaal. Right? And according to the Chacham, you don't need this position because they say, what does Tchelet in Makav and Lavan mean? Literally, Tchelet in Makav and Lavan. It has nothing to do with Gardumin. V'dafka l'Rebbe disli d'ma'akven etzeh u'travayim v'tma'achad mo'el ha'shalim l'chaveiro ki'ilu kulan shleimin. Right? Only according to Rebbe holds that they're integrated, they're one mitzvah, can they save each other? Aval rabbanan lo ma'akven adadi havi kishtei mitzvah v'gidar m'chad v'kai idach en molen zelazeh. And therefore, according to Rebbe, according to Chachamim, do the colors help each other? No. And therefore, right, the Ein Halacha Kerebi, the Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Pala Galei, the Kaim Lan Kerebi, Mechaveiro velo mirabo velo mistaber davi melted the Rabbi Chia beplug to the Rabbi Rabbanu el kulam alsia. Right, but he says this doesn't make sense because Rabbi Chia isn't b'machlokas v'yesh mefarshim the yigardum tchile v'kaya lava and haynu the nifzak achot meikaro velo nishtayer bo ella kolshu. He says so. Some people say, what does this mean? That yigardum means that it's fully ripped. The Rebbe disvirle ma'akven zedze. According to Rebbe, that says they're ma'akev. And therefore they save each other. But according to the Rabbanan, they right, you can be yotze one or the other. And they always need four, which is eight. And therefore, if you rip, any of them gets ripped, right, then you don't have enough strings. But if it's kedaniva, it's kasher. So now, okay, so let's try to understand this position, right? So the why, maybe we should do this tomorrow, but let's see if we can start get it on it now. Why, according to the shuka, the tchela ein ma'akev et alavan, would you say that you aren't allowed to have any fully ripped strings, you need everything kedaniva? What's the logic there?
Tchela is not ma'akev.
Right? What's this sheet that it tells us?
That now they're independent and you need two of each.
Close. Almost. Right? Just put it a little bit sharper. Right? This is how the Ruff puts it. Okay? Let me start getting it and then we'll explore this more tomorrow. He says, look, this is the difference. If you hold that, we're going to have to do it anyways because they had to go help with the milk and something. So we'll repeat it again tomorrow, but let me say a few ones. Okay, now we'll listen to this svara, and then tomorrow we'll have to, right? So how would you explain the shita that Tosfos quotes, that according to the Chachamim, you need all four strings to be at least kedei aniva, but according to Rebbe, you don't. Right? What's the logic there? So here's how the Rav explains it, okay? He says, look, if you hold ein ma'akev zed zeh, then... So we've talked about this before. Then what is tzitzis defined as? Amak, if that's it. No.
Oh.
String. Tzitzis is string. And then on top of that, we ask the question, how many have to do I, how many have to do? But the string, right? If you hold ein ma'akev, right? Ein ma'akev, right? Because what does it say? If you say ein ma'akev, what does that mean? According to Rashi,
they're just you need to have strings.
You need to have eight strings. Lichatchila, some of those should be blue, but if they're not, if all eight are white, or eight all white are blue,
so
it's kosher. Remember that's what Rashi said.
Right.
And how do we explain that according to the Rav? That means that Rashi holds that the definition of tzitzis is eight strings or four strings, and then there's a secondary chiyuv which is. Ideally make sure that some is white and some is blue. But what's the definition of tzitzis?
Eight strings.
And therefore the Rav says, according to the Chachamim, who say that you need eight strings, and it really doesn't matter in terms of defining tzitzis, whether they're all blue, all white, doesn't really matter. So why don't they hold of gardumin?
Because you just need eight strings.
Because you need eight strings. You need eight strings, and therefore, what happens if any of them rip?
You don't have eight strings.
You don't have eight strings. And therefore, the Chachamim hold Gardumin is always possible, even on a single string.
Because then you don't have eight
strings. Because then you don't have eight strings. What do they hold as Kasher?
Kedei
Aniva. Why? Because Kedei Aniva doesn't say, I ripped a string and it's Kasher anyways. What does it say? This is the minimum amount that can be left for it still to be considered
a kosher string.
That there's a kosher string. But according to Rebbe, does Rebbe think that there's a definition of strings?
No, it's two blue, two white.
Correct. There's no number. How do I know? Because according to him,
it says ma'akev zed zeh.
Exactly. So this is how the Rav understands the machlokes. According to the Chachamim, who say that ein ma'akev, right, within Tosfos, that means that the definition of tzitzis is strings, eight strings, and that's why. Can they hold of gardumin?
No,
because what does gardumin say? That under certain circumstances I can get away with seven strings,
right,
or six strings, he says. No, you can't. The definition is eight. White and blue is superimposed. But Rebbe says there is no halacha that you need eight strings. What's their halacha?
You need
chelet plus lava.
No, but it says two and two.
No, he says you need the mitzvah of tchila and you need the mitzvah of lava.
Oh,
right?
No...
And therefore, he can say, there is no mitzvah that I need the number. What is the mitzvah according to Rebbe, according to the Rav?
Have
blue and white. How much blue and how much white should you have? And what's the halacha? Ideally, two and two. But what does Garduman teach you? That as long as you started and defined the tzitzis as blue plus white, then what?
It's kosher.
It's kosher even if it rips, because that's what Garduman means. That tchelet can save the white and white can save the tchelet. Why? Because the definition of tzitzit is not X number of strings, it's make tzitzis which are blue and white.
So if both blues rip off, it's still kosher.
According to, exactly. So he says, this is how he understands the machloket. According to the way Tosfos understands the chachamim, the reason you can have zero gardumen is because
you need eight strings.
If tchilat ain't ma'akiv et alavan, what's definitional is the strings. And therefore, you can hold of kidan iva, because kidan iva means that the string still exists. It's just short. Gardumen holds under certain circumstances, you can get rid of a string, and it'll still be kosher. How could you hold that? So he says, how could you hold that if you hold like Rebbe? Because Rebbe holds tchelet ma'akev et alavan, lavan ma'akev et tchelet, which means that the real definition of tzitzit is not eight strings, what is it? Blue plus white. And therefore, as long as you started off with blue and white, then it's kosher tzitzit. Then what do you need? Then he says, what does the halach of Garduman teach you? That in order for it to maintain its identity as tzitzit, either the white needs to maintain its full integrity,
or
the blue needs to maintain its full integrity.
No.
One full color. That's what that's how.
Either two blue or two white.
Wait,
correct.
Shouldn't you still need to have, like, let's say the blue like loses some of its integrity? Shouldn't you still need to have at least a bit of the tchelet? Otherwise, it loses its identity. Because
no, but that's what we're saying. You don't need the.
No, but if that's a part of the identity.
Created,
of it,
no, but the whole point, what they're saying is that the creation was with blue and white. That's what made it.
So Garduman. So Garduman doesn't mean you take. No, so let's be clear.
After
so
the
Daniel, so Garduman doesn't mean that the string. It doesn't mean you take the string out. Obviously, you can't do that. What does Garduman mean? It's ripped to the point up to the knot. And therefore, it's not considered a string, but it's still there. It's not a string anymore.
Right?
I mean, that's the thing. It's not, right? We just make that clear. It's not that you pulled out the string. Everyone agrees you pull out the string, it's puzzle.
So
Garduman is that it's ripped to the point.
Okay.
Correct. It's there, but it's no longer a string.
Okay.
And Tosa says that's fine. Now, give me a little bit of a svara. Why would that be okay? Give me a svara, and then we'll flesh it out more. Why would you say that maybe even if it's ripped beyond the point at which you could define it as string, it's still kosher?
Because it's still the white.
And do you remember how we talked about Chel and Lavan? What's their relationship to each other?
The blue
wraps around the white, right? The blue wraps around the white, right? Whoop, right? It's about, and therefore you could theoretically say, look, once you've made it, and once you've tied it, right, even if the string is gone, right, but it still like, exists in the knot, and you did once wrap it.
To wear it?
What?
Isn't the mitzvah to wear it?
So we're going to have to, right, this is the problem with this, is the lumbus of Garduman,
right?
Is, and what are you going to answer? Yes, except what did we learn from last week? That by tzitzis, because there's a din asiya, there's a din in making it, right? It can maintain its identity, right? It's not like tefillin. That's exactly what we learned. That the difference between tefillin and tzitzis is this point. That tzitzis, the mitzvah is to wear that which is defined as tzitzis, but it can maintain its identity even after the standards are subpar. Tefillin, it's not true, right? Right, that's what we talked about last week, and that was why we had to set up Garduman. I understand this is complicated. It's complicated to me. Like, Just understand. I honestly think this is one of the hardest things I've ever learned, right? And I was complaining about it with my friends in shul, and he's like, I mean, it's so confusing, and the lumdas is a bit confusing. But even before you get to the lumdas, figuring out what everyone is talking about is confusing. Okay, so tomorrow or Tuesday or whenever, I'm not quite sure what's going on tomorrow about Shir Klali. If you have Shir Klali, so maybe I don't know, maybe free Hanukkah. I'm not really sure. Ginsburg is one more. I don't know. We'll figure it out tomorrow. Either we'll have shir if there's not shir klali, or there is shir klali, or maybe we'll just have shir without preparation for a little bit, just to maybe push forward in the sugya, and then leave you a samachana time for Reche. Or we'll figure it out tomorrow. But I would like to spend no more than 3 days on this sugya. Just because it's so confusing. It's something I want to make sure. If we get the basic points out, I'll be happy, right? Like, obviously there's more, and I cut out some of the sheet we showed him. But, okay, but we'll continue tomorrow in the rush, because the rush, I think, it's a little bit clearer in the Shita within Tosfot than Tosfot himself, right? Rashi organizes it just a little bit better. Really, if you look at it, I really just gave you Tosfot, the Rashi, which is really just a recap of Tosfot with some other positions, and the Rambam with the Kesem Mishnah. Try to read the Kesem Mishnah, but again, I gave you the three positions of the Kesem Mishnah in English, so if that's what you need to rely on, that's going fine. Okay?